everybody. On this episode of the GH Report, it is week two of James Ladd Jr.'s tour around the country, which means, thankfully, you don't have to just put up with me. We've got Akrisha back in, back in the studio. I'm already falling apart. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yes. Once again, when that music plays, it can mean only one thing. That's right. It's the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV, part of your Sunday soap block. There, it's kicking off with Fishing Days, followed up by us. And then we have the Restless Wrap-Up. Of course, the Bull Breakdown with James Lott Jr. is on hiatus while he is out touring the countryside. But I'm one of your hosts, Frank Brand. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. And we've got the person that you've all come here to watch. You don't come here for me. You come here for this woman.
Unless you're a Sunny fan, then you change the channel or your webpage, however you view this. But yes, I'm Lucretia Lyon, guys. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And making sure that you can see us and hear us is the one, the only, the very exhausted, the partied out, Alexis Torres.
Oh, you had to bring that up, didn't you? Hello, everybody. I'm back, and I'm happy that Lucretia's back and ready to rant, because it was awesome having you solo, Frank, but I know that you need an extra voice because mine is definitely not here today. So I'm happy that that is happening.
Well, actually, to be honest, Lucretia, last week, as I was talking, Alexis Joey's in the mic just going, boo. So that's cool. All
right, entire time.
But as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I want to give us a thumb up while you're there. Just one. We only allow one. I wish the YouTube would allow you to do 2 thumbs up. But until technology is caught up with my desires, just give us that one thumb. You can also hop in the chat. Lucretia's got her computer, which means the chat is up and running. So I know last week we really didn't get much of a chat, but Lucretia's got it up and running. So feel free to jump in, share your thoughts about this week's run of episodes or just the show in general. So, yes, Lucretia, you were gone last week. And we talked a little bit about this, but I felt like last week was just kind of like, there wasn't really any peaks. There really wasn't any valleys for me.
Yeah, that was the thing is, you know, I was working all week, so I didn't really get to catch up on the show until the following Monday after the show. And I was pleasantly surprised because it didn't make me as angry as the week before. Yes. But I also felt very indifferent about everything going on. There are bits and pieces that I liked. Like when Griffin kicked Sunny out of the burn ward, I was very happy about that because that was what I was worried about with his character. Because I know they share the Catholic bond, which was fine when it was there. But to have him be his on his side in that scene wouldn't have made sense. So I was glad that they did that because it... I think that they seem to be putting Griffin with a lot of different people, though, trying to just throw him at whatever sticks. But I hope what sticks is with Ava, because I think that that's at least interesting.
But what do you think with this Ava storyline? Like, this is going to be – the way that they even set it up in the scene is like, this is going to be years of painful surgeries to be able to kind of restore to any kind of semblance of the life that she used to lead pre-fire. So – do we really want to just watch and go along with Ava for years while she's just getting surgeries and we've got scars on her face or her body or whatever?
This is TV magic. I mean, Sonny was never supposed to get out of that wheelchair, and he did. I mean, how many people have been blind, maimed? I mean, anything. I mean, look at Valentine. He got surgeries, you know, within, you know, a quick year to, you know, look like he does now. A very beautiful man, so... It's soap world. So I don't think that we'll... I think she will be dealing with this as a consequence because for some reason the Jeromes are the only ones that get to face consequence, which is also why, to me, they're a little bit more palatable characters because, like as we saw with Julian this week, everybody hates Julian except Alexis. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I like Julian because of that because it's like, okay, well, he's like, yeah, I know. I mean, I did what I did. I'm only out because of Ava's condition. You know, I'm sort of accepting this. And he's just grateful that Alexis is at least talking to him. But everybody else is like, screw you, dude. And that's the thing with Ava is, like, we're at least seeing some consequence with the character. So that's more interesting.
But do you feel like, all right, so let's just say plus or minus 6 months that she's going to be dealing with these repercussions?
I would say minus, because I think that it'll be just a, you know, maybe a couple months storyline, because it may be sort of on the back burner as well, because Ava is a front burner character when she's with Sonny and Carly and against them, but like oftentimes, for whatever reason, she's just to the side. So it may be prolonged, but I don't think we're going to be seeing as much of it.
And I feel like as I've seen, like with Julian, at least, you know, everything that he gets into, you do see him feeling bad for his actions, mm-hmm. and he's at least trying to do something different this time. How long that lasts, who knows? Until the writers decide to just arbitrarily say, hey, guess what? Yep, yep.
No, like they did with him before. Exactly. I mean, he had really shown to be the better mobster, but it's like, yeah. Oh, God, we can't have that.
No. We're going to drag him right back in. Do you think Ava is going to have a change? Because I feel like through everything that she's been through, she's never really changed. Like, I mean, she faked her own death. She came back as her twin sister.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with the Ava character. And that was what was more interesting about her, is that she never changed, but she also never apologized for it and never really was praised for it either. And that's why I found her entertaining. But at this point, this is a pretty horrible thing to happen. I think at least for her surgeries and all this, and that's why I think the stuff with Griffin will work out, is I think he's this good person. She'll want to be good, at least for the time being.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it will be curious to see how quickly that, if they do decide to go with the Griffin-Ava romance. Because that seems weird to be the doctor tending you in the burn unit. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, well, how would you like to go out for dinner?
Yeah. Mm. Hey, baby, let me change your dressing. Oh, and people are already talking.
There you
Thank
go.
You, Alexis. But people keep saying there was supposedly a rumor. Okay, yeah, Dion's Corner. Let me get your name right. There was rumors about Griffin being put with a married woman. And those scenes with Sam. And a lot of people are talking about him with Sam. It's like, no, I'm sorry. Like, Sam is a character that, if she's not with Jason at this point, I don't, unless they put her with Michael Easton again, which I like him with Hayden, so I don't want to see that. I really don't think that Griffin needs to be drugged down with the J-Sam bandwagon, because as we say, anybody that gets in that core, whether it's Sonny and Carly, Jason and Sam, they're gone for good. So unless they're planning on getting rid of Matt Cohen, I don't want to see that. And it's nothing against Kelly Monaco or the Sam character, but it's just that's the way that things work. And yeah. Sam's with Jason, and they're finally happy, however you want to say it, so let's leave them together. And Ava, who should have been with Nicholas, but because of Tyler Christopher's contract, that didn't work out, let's give her Griffin. It's just kind of annoying that that's possibly, but I do see that they've put her in scenes with him randomly lately, and I'm like, please no.
Do you think that's because I guess if you think like back in the 80s or 90s, and you think like back like Erica Kane, somebody that would, the running joke is how say your full, mm-hmm. complete legal name, and it'd always be so many last names because she'd been married to so many different people throughout the years. And I guess maybe that was just part of the hook or the charm or the kitschiness of Erica Kane. But I feel, do you think audiences are tired of, and we're seeing a little bit of this with the Sonny and Carly, that they have less tolerance for, we're going to keep driving them apart to bring them back together? Because it's like, we know you're not going to do this for real.
Well, and I think that's the thing, is that soaps have evolved, but some of the tropes haven't evolved with them. With Erica Kane, that became a joke. And that sort of fit that particular character, too. She seemed like somebody who would marry all different types of men, fall in love next minute, not. And that's how she was portrayed. At this point, I don't think that we see women like that on soaps that much anymore. I mean, Lucy Coe, to me, would be similar in an Erica Kane fashion, like the, you know, the kind of kitschy thing. But, like, she's sort of a back burner character. Any of our front burner characters, that almost seems. And I don't want to demean that, because that was fun about Erica, but it doesn't seem right for, say, even Carly.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like it gets harder to make audiences invest in those characters wanting to be together if you're always coming up with reasons to break them up and then bring them back together. I mean, it's like Carly's, in Sonny's sixth time?
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you know, how many more times? It's like this whole storyline about them being estranged right now, it's like this is getting tiresome because you're never, we as we've talked about before, we know you're never really going to pair them off with anybody else for long term, just because those kind of characters don't exist on the canvas right now. So why are you making us go through this? Because it's like, just get to them back together already, because this is just all kind of wasted time.
Well, and two, it doesn't serve their characters either way. I mean, as I say, Carly is a character that I think has had good relationships outside of that, like Jax. But if we're not going to get Inga Rademacher, and she has chemistry with Andre, and to me, Carly as a character, while frustrating she may be, I still really enjoy the character. I find Sonny, to me, is more a love to hate, and he's getting to a point as far, you know, and this is nothing against Maurice Bernard, seeing him as the sex symbol is just getting kind of weird, because, I mean, I'm sorry, we've got Matt Cohen and Ryan Pavey on the show. These guys are exceptionally hot. They're much younger. Why are we not putting them as the sexy guys with all the women? And that's what I've always found kind of weird, is like, we're getting younger and hotter guys on these shows, and they're not replacing the older Lothario, which you would think would happen. I mean, and as I say, there's nothing against it. I mean, I'm all for. I mean, look at William DeVry and Nancy Lee Grahn getting it on.
Yeah.
But it's just a matter of, I don't understand the constant need to put Sonny with different women and not so much Carly, which has had better relationships. With Sonny, I mean, she who shall not be named is this really only other long-standing relationship, and God, that's the only worse choice than Carly.
she's never far from coming back, guys. You never know.
No. Oh, God.
Her last visit to the show, I think, pretty much killed any enthusiasm for her wanting to, like, yeah, bring her back. That'd be great. We'll jump you back. So we've got Ava. They're in the burn ward. We've got kind of Griffin being a kind of protector. We also see a little, what I did like is a little bit about Dylan and Scotty, where Dylan gives him a little smackdown. I was like, oh, man, Ken Schreiner is getting on the receiving end of everything for this. But I like it.
Yeah, as I say, even though I like Scotty, it was kind of deserved. And I like that Dylan was standing up for Kiki and stuff like that. And I like that Dylan is being reasonable in this, even though that's a little bit extreme. He's like, Kiki, you don't need to abandon your mom. Whether or not you agree what she did, you were there for me with my dad. And you know, I like that he is this good boyfriend here, you know, and taking everything out and sort of helping her. Because, you know, this sucks all around. I mean, and I hope that Scotty doesn't get charged. We know he won't. But it's just, Scotty is who he is. And he was helping his friend.
Yeah. No, it's which I feel like, other than Lucy Coe and Laura, I guess it's interesting. It's pretty much just all women that he has. It's Bobby, Lucy, and Laura.
Yeah,
he seems to have a good tie with. So it's nice to see that he also has good ties with somebody that's newer to the canvas. It's like, cool, all right, I like that relationship between the two of them.
And two, Ava takes care of Scotty as well. They have actually more of an even relationship, as he may be her lawyer a lot of times, but when he needed a place to stay, Ava gave him a place to stay. She's been the one who was there for him more so than Lucy, Laura, and even Bobby lately. Yeah.
And I like that relationship, and I always feel like that is one that has never been fully exploited for all its potential. We just see it like, you know, in bits and pieces, and it always makes you just want to see more of it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is they're so funny, they're great together, and I like that there's clearly just a friendship between them. They even both make jokes about when they've misunderstood something the other one said, oh God, no, not you. Like, and I think that's what I like about them, because with Laura and Bobby and Lucy, those are all his former lovers. Ava's the only one that's just his friend, and I think that's why they sort of have a better relationship.
Well, we do see a scene with Scotty and Laura this week, where he's just basically, hey, do you think I'm a good person? And Laura's just like, nah, well, I don't know, Scotty. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the deal is with you, buddy.
Yeah, and I really like that, because Laura is not one to dismiss him, but she's also just like, yeah, I'm going to call you out on your crap.
And if we're talking about Laura, Lucretia, before this episode started, was already saying how excited she was about these scenes this week. And that was Spencer. Came back in town last week, but he's still around this week. You have a much higher tolerance, I feel, for him than I do.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed Spencer. He was sort of the bright spot of this week. Even though he's a little jerk, it's funny. And Spencer a lot of times will say what we're all thinking. Because I liked that he brought up the fact that Charlotte was Valentine's kid and they stole his home. Because to have that not be mentioned and them just have their happy family was not reasonable. So I was glad that at least somebody is like, hey, yeah, like, he killed my dad, and they took my home. I'm mad.
Like, and I can understand that, but then for him to also, well, I mean, a kid is a kid, so they're just going to equate.
Yeah.
If they can't really distinguish between Valentine and Charlotte, they're just going to say, you know, they're all family, so that family is against me. But the moment where they're doing the puzzle, and he just slams his hand on the puzzle and then just shatters it, I'm like, oh. come. And then he's afterwards like, oops.
Yeah, I'm like, he is such a little jerk. But it was so funny when Dante was like reprimanding him and he looked at Laura like, are you going to let him talk to me that way? And Laura was like, yes.
This is just a commoner. You know what I mean? Talk to me. I'm royalty.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like, Spencer's a little jerk, but it's funny. And because he's a kid, you just laugh it off. I mean, of course, you know, if he was a little older saying this, you're like, yeah, well, what a little bastard. But this, he's so little, you're like, oh, it's cute.
I don't know. I have such a fine line for it. It's like, he was really pushing my limits to like, oh, just somebody, just throw him in a closet or something for a while. Just please.
Yeah, Sawyer Olive says, I was loving me some Spencer this week. Yeah, Taylor Jones says, Spencer is such a Cassadine. Sarah sees, like, Spencer was awesome. So I think they all agree with me, Frank. He was adorable.
Oh, well, I'm afraid to tell you that your opinions are wrong. And mine was right. No.
My favorite one was, I love Laura when she's telling it like it is. And this is why I wish she would do this to Lulu sometimes. Because with her and Spencer, and she goes, well, I don't judge you for Helena. And he goes, that was low. She goes, it was supposed to be. I'm like, that was great.
Because I feel like anytime that she has those discussions with Lulu, she's, that is my daughter.
Yeah.
She will always just like, understand. But you know what? Laura is also, you know, you're Laura's daughter. She can understand where you're coming from. So give her words of, like, at least think about what she's saying before you start just running off and doing these dumb things, which after the fact you realize, like, uh-oh, I was a dumb. I shouldn't have done that. So just listen to Laura right out of the gate. It would have been much easier.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we've got Spencer back in town. But and it'll be interesting to see where they're going, because with Charlotte now living with Lulu and Dante and Rocco, feeling a little tight. Tight quarters. So who comes in to offer a place to stay? Good old Kevin Collins.
I love that, because as I say, they're one of those couples that came out of nowhere, but you really root for them, because we don't see them very often, kind of like Ned and Olivia, where we don't see them very often, but every time we do, we're glad we did, and we wonder why they're not here more often.
Yeah, which is true. It's like, give us some more stuff to do between the two of them. And I don't want to see stuff that's going to put them at odds. I want to see them doing something that's going to just have them have to work together and do something.
Yeah, and that's what I've liked about their relationship, is 90% of the time, it was them working together on interesting stories, like, you know, when they went to Cassadine Island, and, you know, we're figuring out things, you know, with, you know, because he was a cartographer.
Yes. Yeah, we haven't mentioned that at all since. No. That was just a very brief hobby for Kevin Collins.
Yeah, but, I mean, and that's the thing, is Spencer, I guess, will be, like, a little bit of a conflict, maybe, but he likes Kevin. I mean,
yeah, it seems I don't know if I would have, once Laura said, like, well, Spencer's here, too. I mean, Kevin didn't bat an eye. Yeah, he was like, all right, that's great. I may have been like, all right, well, maybe we'll hold off on this for a little bit then. Yeah, maybe. But no, he's going to do it. He's going to open up the doors to Spencer and Laura. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, and Spencer had another scene with Hayden and Cam. I like that they remembered that she had a fondness for him, and, you know, her trying to be, you know, be with these kids and trying to be a mom. That was one of those little random scenes this week that I actually liked, because it was funny, because she was calling Laura, freaking out. And
I will remember to send an apology text. Nope, you're gonna write a letter.
Yeah,
What? I'm gonna write a letter. What is this? So of course you mentioned Olivia. No. We have some brief scenes here, as you talked about, with Julian as he's getting beat up on by everybody. Certainly the biggest one, I think, this week was with Olivia and Julian, because he wants to go and see his son. And Olivia said, you know, you haven't been around. He doesn't know you. So please do everybody a favor and just do what you've been doing. Stay out of his life. And Alexis rides to the rescue and says, no, you can't be doing that.
And I like that at least Alexis was very cautious about, and this is what I like, is at least they're not shoving them back together like other couples that have had horrible things. Is she obviously still cares for him. He cares for her. He keeps a little bit. And then she's like, no, this is a legal matter. I'm just being there as your advocate. And I think that because of how you were with, you know, Scal, it'd be okay. And I like that Alexis was very cautious, but also saying, hey, Olivia, you know, it'd probably be better to work this out this way. Even though I totally get Olivia. And that's the thing, is whether I like Julian or not, Olivia has a point. And she is not a hypocrite as someone, because she is the only one to keep Sonny's getaway from him. And that's why I will always like Olivia Falconeri. Is because, guess what? That's why Dante is a well-adjusted human being. Michael's just been brain damaged is why he is. Sorry.
True. I mean, I guess it does. Yeah, for Leo, the odds are, just sticking with Ned and Olivia, odds are he's going to be, yeah, as you said, more well adjusted than having Julian around.
Yeah, because that's what I say, is like, Olivia is at least not a hypocrite. She kept, you know, Dante away from Sonny because of that, and she had whole intentions of keeping Julian away. And with the Julian situation, she got drunk, and at her age, did not expect that to happen. So, you know, it's not like she was in a relationship with him. She had a one-night stand, and she has always been clear about them wanting him away from the mob, and she had been reasonable with Julian when she knew he wasn't in the mob, and now she's still on her foot. So, as I say, while I like Julian, I see both sides of this situation, and I get he's trying to change, but it doesn't take back all this other stuff he did.
So certainly, I mean, even Sam comes in and sees the two of them together and what's happening with Olivia as well. And just says, you know what, I don't have anything to say to you, Julian. And if you're agreeing with him, Mom, I don't have anything to say to you. I'm out. See you later. So, I mean, it's certainly, I mean, this whole relationship with, or at least whatever their kind of status quo is between Alexis and Julian, nobody's really supporting Alexis on this at all.
And that's what I say is why this is more palatable than any of, like, you know, like Sonny or Carly or something. Is because, okay, Jocelyn has her head on straight and says no, but Carly's a bad mom, so she keeps going. In Julian's case, with Alexis, Alexis's kids are adults, and, you know, the thing is they're not supporting it either, but Alexis also isn't diving head first.
It is,
and that's why I'm like, that's okay with me, because obviously she has feelings, but
Just a side tangent there for a little bit. As you bring up the whole Jocelyn and Carly, I feel like, and I agree with you, that I can understand why Jocelyn is not thrilled when walks in and sees Carly and Sonny kissing and where it was going to be leading, and not thrilled about her getting back in Sonny's orbit again, that her mom deserves better than this. To have to keep, apologizing for somebody else and going back to them and making excuses for their behavior. I still feel like there's not been enough attention to feel like, Carly, don't you realize that, sure, Jax is incredibly wealthy, but still he is banned, at least for some length of time, from the States, from having easy access to his daughter.
Yeah, and that's the issue that I always have with these characters is, look, Jocelyn may be a teenager, and sometimes they don't like their mom's boyfriends, but frankly, if you're a mom, you should put your kid over your boyfriend no matter what, even if it is the father of your other kids or whatever, and especially if he has a history like Sonny does. But the biggest thing is, none of that is in the past when he deported Jax and he can't come back into this country. That is right now. That is your daughter's father. She has every right to be mad about this, and you're a bad mom for not thinking about going back to this person, but B, saying, oh, that's none of her business. It's her dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it is her business. God.
I feel like Carly should be trying to move heaven and earth, trying to help out her daughter to be able to have Jax come back into this country. But it's just like, Jax is just back in Australia. I mean, you know, but hey, just, you know, I'm going to be with Sonny now. So I'm like, which just made that whole thing just so irritating. I mean, you knew it was what's going to happen, but it's just like, why do we even try to float these kind of, like, possibilities that, oh yeah, Carly could be with Jax. No, it's not going to happen because Jax is gone and Ingo's not really he's not a contract player, so we're never really going to see him. So instead, we just deport him. But at least I feel like Carly cannot. Those scenes just irritate me, where she's like, Jocelyn, you don't understand.
Yeah, like that just. And two, as I say, it always bugs me now that the writers are female to write that for a woman, a mother. And to, if, say, you wrote that for Ava, and everybody calls Ava a bad mother, okay. But no one calls Carly a bad mother when, I'm sorry, she's one of the worst ones on the show.
Well, she does love her kids, I guess.
Oh, God, they always say that. And it's like, plenty of bad parents love their kids, guys. I mean, Lizzie Borden's parents probably loved her until she hacked them up. I mean, guys, come on. Love doesn't cost you.
Speaking of other characters from the canvas that that came back, we've got Spinelli back. You get to see Spinelli and Stone Cold working together to try to figure out what the deal is with Helena's henchman who brought in the Chimera.
As I say, this is nothing against Billy Miller or anyone for that matter, but to me, the most glaring moments that this is not Steve Burton are with Spinelli. And I think it's because Steve and Bradford were friends off campus, and they had this great relationship and a friendship that was funny, because Jason had always been stone cold, like, not a very funny guy to have this character with him. And we just don't have that same chemistry. And that's why I say those are the moments that I find more glaring than, you know, any other character on the show.
Yeah, it reminds you that it's just a shadow of its former self to me. So I'm just like, okay, I mean, I guess I'll take what I can get, but it still doesn't quite reach what what I feel like has been that dynamic in the past. But we do have him come back. You know, Spinelli does his wonders there. He tracks down whoever this person is, which the scenes of that henchman skulking around in the hospital. Oh, boy, with that cart that he'd keep on rolling around. And he'd always just be like there would be times where he's watching him, and then he'd just turn and look back at the camera for a second before he'd walk away. Like, we got it. We know who you are, dude. We know you're creepy and you're weird. That's fine. Just do your thing, dude.
Yeah, as I say, this thing, I guess that they sort of had to wrap up this person brought the magic set to Jake. But I'm just wondering, this obviously is unraveling a bigger story about what Jason is now and then Sam's PTSD. I feel like this story's too busy. Because I will say, the Elizabeth and Jake stuff was interesting. And, you know, the way that they held it. Because I actually like the way they've written Elizabeth with Jake and with Franco and this storyline. So I like to see these scenes of her being able to be the strong one, the mother, like, you know, and take care of him. I liked that part of it, but the rest of it, like you say, yeah, it was like, oh my God, can you be more obvious?
Yeah. And I did like at least that Griffin came out and he stuck around. I was waiting for him to have, well, you know, I've got to go see a patient. I really can't help you out. But at least they gave Griffin the smarts in that scene to realize what Elizabeth is clearly asking for help, but she can't say it right there in front of Jake. Just read the signs and realize, you know, you're needed right here, right now, Griffin. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that he did. Yeah. Glad he stuck around, which is good. But I got to admit, the Sam stuff, that I am tired of that already. Ugh. Like, that does not excite me in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, the Sam in Crisis stuff, I thought we were over that. I mean, every year around the same time, anytime it becomes sweeps, it's always like Sam is in crisis. And I'm just done. But Kelly from VEI has a funny comment. He may be creepy, but damn, he is sexy. That That's so funny.
Whoa, Kelly, come on now. But the thing that first strikes me about Sam in Crisis is that is a character that will not tell anybody about what is going on with her until way too late in the game. Mm-hmm. And it always frustrates me. Just like, just tell Jason, you know what? I am seeing visions. I'm seeing you with blood on your face. There's something wrong with me. I got to figure it out. Instead, it's like, no, I don't know. There's something happening. I don't know. And I that's what's driving me about those scenes. Like, no. I'm already not excited about it. And then you just have her being kind of coy or vague or kind of, you know, not really deflecting anybody that talks to her about it. I'm like, please. I guess, you think this is heading to some kind of PTSD kind of thing?
I don't, to be honest, especially, like, Griffin is not a psychiatrist, and at least he did tell her to get a real diagnosis from, you know, one of the psychiatrists on campus there, you know. But, yeah, I don't think it's PTSD, and it's a matter, if it is, why? Like, I'm guessing it probably has to do with Helena's curse, and they're bringing that to head, because as I keep saying, let's just redo A Tale of Two Todds with A Tale of Two Jasons.
Yeah. Now, it's, I mean, I guess, you know, we're trying to figure out what the deal is with Jason, that, you know, he's got this programming and he's certainly different now than he was, like, we had that scene between Sam and Kevin, and Kevin was saying, you know, when he first got in that first accident that kind of turned him into Jason Morgan, I tried to treat him, and he wanted nothing to do with it, because he wanted to be in charge of his whole, you know, everything that affected his life, he wanted to call the shots. And now he's some kind of, like, he's a different sort of person now, which is cool. I mean, I guess it's different because, I mean, he's already been through so many traumatic injuries, and his head has just got to be a mishmash of stuff. But it's still not giving us the Jason Quartermain that we want. It's just this mishmash of just, like, dark stuff, which I'm like, can we have some light positive stuff in there, too? That's kind of bubbling up as well, but we're only seeing the dark, messy stuff.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, you know, well, Jason has a career in the NFL if this doesn't work out. So, yeah, with all these brain injuries, that might have been a low blow. But, Tommy Osini in the chat says, I think it's Helena's curse, too. And Amanda Pinnell says she thought it was postpartum depression. I know that Griffin talked about both of them. PTSD after, you know, her horrific incident with the delivery, as well as postpartum depression. But, yeah, I just think, I hope it's the curse, because at least it's wrapping up a storyline if we have to have this. But, yeah, the whole Sam in crisis and is this Jason. Like, as I say, if it brings Steve Burton back, I'm all for it. But I kind of, because of a lot of the hints she dropped about Jason not being Jason, but being that it's in this very paranoid state she's in, that could have been a throw off. Yeah.
I feel like if that was going to be the case, we would have heard something about that by now. Don't you think that Steve Burton was going to be coming back to canvas? I'd be more than happy with that spin. That would be really cool. But I don't know exactly what they're going to try to kind of settle this. And we have, let's talk about Jason's fight scene on the hospital hospital roof. Not the greatest stone cold fight scene that I've ever seen. So it's and the guy doesn't die. We get to see him. Which I didn't like how the cops are going, "You are both coming downtown with us."
And then Sam is like, "He's the guy that stopped the bomb." Really? Like, and I'm like, "That's going to work on you? Well, you're still going to have to make a statement." I mean, even my mom was watching and was like, "This is bad."
I promise, officer, I'll bring him down as soon as possible. Like, okay, great. So I don't know, because I remember, like the DVR said, you know what, Jason finally learns the truth. And I figured, so I was like, all right, he's going to find out who's behind all this. That now that Helena's dead, who's the one that's really pulling the strings? And it only seemed like all we got out of that is that this other guy that brought the Chimera is also under Helena's programming as well.
And maybe it's because Friday's episode was actually Thursday's, because Tuesday's episode, and that may have been it, is that the DVR was wrong and it was supposed to be for the one that will air on Monday. And that's what sucks. Because, you know, Tanya Walker talked about this when she was in here, about how soaps are died because of the OJ trial. Yeah. And how much ever since we even started this show, how many shows have been delayed or, you know, only put online or shown on a different day? I mean, that's sort of what's killing us right now.
No, that's true. That or just hitting the same kind of, like you were just talking about, they do with a lot of different characters. They just, they bring them on canvas, make you hate them, and then later on they try to show you, like, you know what? This person that you really hated, you know, you really didn't understand this whole sides of this person. Here's the other reason that's going to completely justify everything they've done. And you're supposed to just turn like,
oh, you're okay. Right.
This person's the best. What was I thinking?
Only if they have William DeVry's butt.
Which brings us to the storyline that I am not excited about. And this week did not do anything to get me more excited about it. But it was Amy. Of course, Manlanders. We had last week off, which was great in terms of seeing any of the progression of the Amy storyline. But we're back in it this week, and we get to see Nathan overhearing a phone call that leads to a really long, drawn-out discussion about Amy and her brother, who got injured. He was overseas, got injured. He's now in a home because his mother couldn't afford to keep taking care of him. And so she's just trying to hopefully write this book as a way to, you know, and wants this book deal because they can help provide for him.
Yeah, as I say, the more we've learned about it, the more we do see Amy's side and sort of understand her character more, except for the fact of she was a gossip. She wasn't very nice, especially about Maxie. And to our knowledge, Maxie had never really done anything to her. And that's the frustrating part, is even though what she's done, it was not, say, as bad as, say, like, Valentine or Julian or Ava or all these characters, it's also, you were just a gossip that's kind of mean about people, and this doesn't really explain that. It explains why, you know, Nathan, who's a nice guy, will want to help you. But I think that's the frustrating part, is, like, I get you, you're going through stuff, but that doesn't give you the right to be mean to people. I mean, same thing, it doesn't give, like, you know, Ava a right to kill Connie or anybody else. I mean, and that's the thing, is, like, we don't understand their, I mean, we understand some motivations, but as far as that, it's like, what?
And the thing that I did not want to happen is now coming to pass, which is Nathan posing as Manlanders for this book publisher. Which this is driving me crazy. I mean, it's like, I mean, and I guess I you know, I'm not in the world of publishing, but I think it's the content and not the package that's the most important thing. So if you have this person that you that the content of what this person's saying has grabbed you, you know, it shouldn't matter what this person looks like that's giving the information. Sure, it's this guy. The fact that this guy's hot, I think it's a bonus. But if you find out that that was just a fake photo and the guy was a troll, or was in fact a woman that was calling herself Manlanders, the content is still there.
Frank, we work in the entertainment industry. I thought you knew better than that. It's all about a sexy, pretty package. It doesn't matter what's on the inside.
Great. We're going to get this meeting, which this is what we're going to give Nathan to do, is to pose as Manlanders and be able to talk about things that Amy has written about and be able to kind of just riff off the cuff about all this stuff. Those are going to be terrible scenes, and I am not looking forward to watching those next week. I am not. This is going to be awful.
I know, it's going to be awful, but I just laugh. You're like, it is going to be terrible. No. And a lot of the chat is saying the same thing. Amanda Pinnell says, I like to hear about Amy's life, just hate Manlanders. Stormy Wood says, Amy got three sob stories in one, and I don't give a damn about Amy's messed up brother, dead mother, or absent father. Ugh. And then Dion's Corner is like, I kind of like that there's more to this Manlanders thing than her just being a twin. It doesn't completely salvage her, but at least there's a better reason for it. Like, that's a nice way of putting it. And yeah, as I say, I'm like, at least we have a reason. But as I say, it doesn't make sense for everything. And that's what I hate when they have these characters come on and we don't like them, or we do like them, but they're evil. And then they try to vamp that. And you're like, why?
Yeah, it's because now we have Nathan stuck in the storyline where he's got to pose as this advice columnist when we have already so many other things. One, we could give him a police case to work on. Two, you could, as we've talked about in the past, try to get a storyline going about who his real father is.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder, is the show ever going to follow up on that? Because it has been years since that was touched on.
Yeah, that's what's frustrating, is Tommy Ossini in the chat says they really don't know what to do with Ryan, do they? And exactly. But as we say, there's so many options, but it's almost like they don't want to bother with something more in-depth. Like, they'll put him with this lame storyline. And that's what's frustrating, is Ryan is a great actor, a very smart guy, and all they seem to want to focus on is the fact that he's really hot.
Yeah.
And that's great. He is. But he is a lot more than that. And it's frustrating that they're not willing to do that. Because this father storyline, and hell, you know, I could see him and Nina teaming up because she needs something to do.
Yeah.
And they have a great relationship. I love their scenes. And Nathan is this good guy. So if Maxie didn't come back, why not get him in a good relationship or something?
Yeah. It's frustrating because it's like this. Like, this character, it makes me worry. Like, there are some characters on soaps where I guess the writers feel like if they're not with a couple, the person that they've been paired with, in this case, Maxie. Take Maxie out of the equation because, you know, that character, you know, just for personal reasons, is not on the show right now. But all of a sudden they realize, well, if he's not with that person, we don't really have anything to do with him. And so what's the, you know, we want this actor around. And they struggle. But it's like, you shouldn't have to struggle because
Ulbricht is there.
Yes.
And you have the fact that he has this unknown father that's supposed to be this really evil guy. But it's like they're not even trying. Like, and that's what's frustrating. It's like, oh, well, we have this character on canvas. Let's make this dumb Manlanders storyline. Oh. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
I've not smoked enough weed to have thought of that storyline. I wonder where they get theirs. I mean, Jesus.
It's a frustrating thing to do with a character that could have that has so much other potential that you could be exploring, but I for some reason, as right now, they decide, you know what, Nathan really needs to be Manlanders. Hooray.
Yeah, as I say.
Good luck with that.
And Kelly from PI said that Kristen Storms is now taping, and I did see that as well. So hopefully that means this will wrap up and we'll get that. And like Stormy Woods points out, we saw Maxie in high school. None of what Amy has said describes her at all. And I remember that, too. I'm like, because that was when Lucas came out of the closet and stuff like that. Like, Maxie was not a bad teenager. She was a bad adult later.
Yeah. No, that was back before the recast and stuff, too. So, yeah, she was much more of a good character right there.
Yeah, because that was the thing, is she was a good big sister to Georgie, I mean, and was kind of involved with a cop at that time before Kristen came in, and then they had the Lucky storyline. That was really where Maxie took a turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and she was into drugs a little bit in high school, but, I mean, who wasn't?
Well, yeah. Look at them. Well, there whatever. You go. Well, you know how it is, guys. In high school, yeah. You know, you're experimenting, yeah. Right? It happens so much faster for the kids these days. Used to be exactly. College. Now it's high school.
Yeah.
Soon it'll be junior high.
Soon.
Oh, yeah. Well, no word. So,
lock your daughter up now, Frank.
Oh, man. Uh-oh. Yikes. In terms of other storylines this week, do we have anything else that was really exciting this week that... I can't think of any of the other storylines.
I think Anna was only in it briefly just to make sure Valentine got that video, and it was nice that Charlotte and Anna watched it together.
Yeah.
And hopefully James Patrick Stewart will be back as Valentine. I think that he just had to film elsewhere because he's popular.
There was, which, get excited, mm-hmm. everybody, there was a shot on Twitter that somebody took a shot, I think the GH fan page put it out, or the GH show page, of James Patrick Stewart in the park. Yes. Just pausing between sets, between shots. So he's back, and he's in the park. So look at that.
Your favorite place.
My favorite place. Get James Patrick Stewart out in that park. Hooray. So get ready for more park shots, guys.
Yeah, because that was the thing. I figured because people liked him, he'd be back. And I love that Anna insisted that Lulu show them that. And, you know, we had Anna advocating for him then because she was the one who saw who he was before and was able to see him again. And I thought that they had good chemistry as, you know, sort of frenemies. And, yeah, it was a good story.
It'll be curious to see what happens when he does come back, what their kind of relationship will be going forward. But I'd rather just, you know, as much as the way they brought him on irritates the heck out of me, and I still feel like it did that character a big disservice, the way that he's brought in. Like, this could be, you could feel like, it was already kind of, what happened to him was kind of tragic in terms of Anna and Alex and all that, but it just, like, it could have hit a little bit harder had they not brought him in such a terrible way.
Yeah, and that's what's frustrating, is because we all know that Tyler Christopher was supposed to come back after the and Nicholas wasn't supposed to be dead, but it's still, like, we still had to deal with the fallout. Like, they could have easily written, like, maybe a scene of, like, just showing that Nicholas had faked his death to kind of get over that.
Yeah.
But I guess because after, you know, they just weren't sure after a while. And as I say, that's what hurt Ava's character as well. I don't think she would have been involved in Morgan's death if it wasn't for Nicholas not being on campus, because they had taken her out of that. And, you know, it's a shame that contract negotiations will ruin stories like that, but...
But I'd still be fine with them recasting Nicholas. I mean, just, you know.
Yeah, I liked Nick Seville, and he had great chemistry with Maura.
Yeah, I mean, I know people, I don't know if it was necessarily, like, split, but, I mean, I know that there were some people that weren't a fan of that recasting as well. And, you know, but still, I feel like better some Nicholas than no Nicholas at all.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, at least that's my opinion. I feel like there's more opportunities, both with Ava or with Valentine. To have a kind of power struggle within the Castellan family could be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, to see more stuff with him and Alexis. I'd love to see...
Yeah, they're a great family, you know. I love their relationship.
Yeah.
And Laura,
yeah. Yeah, but if you do bring Nicholas back, the first thing you have to do is just have him... Well, first get him with Ava, because at least that seems to be like a potentially good long-term relationship, perhaps for both of those characters. I mean, it's just something that Nicholas can actually finish or like at least marry or do something because, you know, all his other relationships just ended up blowing up in his face. And that got a little tiresome with that character, too.
And that's what I hated it because Britt and Hayden were actually great, but they never had them start out well. Or at least with Nicholas and Britt, they did start out well, but because of the reveal. And then they had her screw him over again because she was leaving. And that was so frustrating because I loved them together. They were funny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought that was good. And I feel like it just, it was, again, hitting that same nail over the head, which you did same thing like with Hot Doc. Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Robin. Yeah. So we're just kind of hitting that same thing where it's all of a sudden like, all right, you're going to be with Sabrina? Oh, nope. Now we're going to, you know, have Robin come in and walk in on this. Oh, and now you're going to be on the other side of it. So... When they take that character and they have him repeat those same kind of beats again, I can understand why it gets frustrating
for an actor. Yeah,
yeah, they're like, this is all you see me capable of doing? Is just playing this one type of note in the character?
Well, and he proved that, Jason Thompson proved that wrong over on Y&R, which was great, and it's just a shame because I love Patrick Drake. And
no, it's, You know, it's but I will give it up for the show where it's like I haven't felt his absence in the sense where you did get to see Robin and Emma come back and touch base. And even if they say, you know, just because they have to, it's like, oh, yeah, Dad's still back there, you know, doing something else or, you know.
Yeah, at least they're very respectful of the fact, you know, it's not like, well, we're going to recast him just for this one little scene. It makes sense because he is a doctor that he might not be there. And at least, yeah. like, we have when Anna and Emma mention him and stuff like that.
So it'll be interesting to see what lies ahead for a lot of these characters.
Yeah, Tion's Corner brings up a good point to go back to Nathan's dad just a little bit. Maybe Ulbricht had a past with Caleb Morley, you know, Michael Easton's first character, the vampire, because he was so evil. And I'm like, that would be funny because they do kind of look alike, but Michael Easton looks more like his older brother rather than a father.
Well, that's true. I mean, I guess, you know, and he could be around for a long time, so that's why he hasn't aged or anything.
That
so
makes sense.
All right, yeah, it could be a vampire. I mean, it's just... It's got to be somebody cool. I mean, to be able to say, like, this is somebody even worse than what you thought the original Cassadine that Theo played. Theo.
Yeah. Victor Cassadine.
Yes. So if it's even more of a monster than Victor.
And that's what they claim, that Valentine might have been it, but then they get someone as charming as James Patrick Stewart, so I guess they wrote it a little different, because he was supposed to be this big evil guy, and then you're like, nah, he's too cool.
Yeah, he was too suave. I liked him. Liked him so much.
And Annie Goen wants to say Happy Father's Day, Frank. And Happy Father's Day from the rest of us here.
Oh, yeah. My goodness, guys. Thank you so much. That's right. You know, my daughter said she doesn't want to see movies with me, so that was my treat today.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Didn't you see Cars yesterday?
I did. I saw it by myself, guys. Oh. But it's a really good movie. much better than Cars 2, which is not a
And Nathan Fillion's in Cars 3. I need to see that.
That's true. Yeah. You unmistakable voice when he pops on. Like, oh, hey, Nathan. All right, good to hear from you, buddy. I feel like, I guess, you know, we haven't done these segments in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why don't we go back to some, you know, some old standbys? You know, usually we've been ranting and raving, more rants than raves, more often than not, about the show, that we don't get a chance to do those old popular standbys that we do, winners and losers, and get them to the ER stat. So, please. Winner and loser for you this week.
All right. You know, it's pretty hard to pick a loser because pretty well everyone in Port Charles is a loser for the most part this week. But I guess just because of how she didn't put her kid first or listen to her concerns since he deported her dad, I'm going to go with Carly.
Okay.
Even though it was nice to have her not in every episode this week, just the one really irked me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, and sorry. I mean, he had Jax deported. Listen to your daughter. She's smarter than you. And to me, the winner of the week, I think, has to go to Elizabeth. Because, again, nice. I love the sound effects. Thanks, Alexis.
Sorry, I was trying to hit the ta-da button. It didn't go. I was so sad. I was like, what's happening? I'm sorry.
Because, as I say... The more that Elizabeth gets where it's her being a good mom and her with Franco and just even though Jason is around, she doesn't care about Jason like she did. And I like that so much more in her character. She just sees him as Jake's dad now. And it just shows what a strong woman she's become again, like she was, you know, with Lucky the first time. Yeah,
I agree with that. No, that's a very interesting dynamic. And it's interesting because there are no scenes with Franco this week at all.
Yeah, he wasn't in it. But in two, as much as I like them together, it made sense. I'm like, it was good. You know, as much as I like Franco, I can take a break from him.
It was. But then we had like that moment there where first I thought that guy was going to, like, why didn't he just... take a creepy stalker Helena henchman guy right when they go by the vending machine. She gives him the money. Elizabeth's back is turned and she's going through her phone and he's up there to try to go get some candy from the machine, and the creepy henchman guy is just standing right there, and they lock eyes for like way too long. And I was like, if this is who you're wanting to get, just take him and run. But he just like, they just stand there for a while. I'm just like, all right, well, this seems weird.
Creepy stare off.
I like what they've done with Elizabeth. Yeah, if you would have felt like, you know, this is the one, like, was it just 2 years ago that the whole Jake Doe stuff was going on?
Yeah, as I say, I mean, and some people, Amanda Pinnow even commented, because she hadn't been watching the show for a while. She's like, well, Lucrecia likes Elizabeth now. I said, yeah, ever since they put her in Franco's orbit. And, you know, the Jake stuff was more interesting, you know, with him being a little bit evil. That was great. And as long as she's not with Jason, and she's way better. I mean, and that's the sad part, is, like, now Sam has to suffer, apparently. Which sucks, because Jason and Sam and Elizabeth are all great characters. But I think that the way that they choose to write them, just like with Carly and Sonny together, just isn't good for anybody.
There was when GH was preempted, I think it was on Tuesday this week. I think it was preempted Tuesday or Wednesday. But they had a repeat here. And it was back for when Curtis and Jason were kind of, you know, dancing around working together. And I was like, and I saw that at first, like, whoa, 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 what happened? Are they back, doing a case again? Like, nope. As I kept watching, I'm like, oh, this is a repeat from a while ago. But it got me excited about a relationship that we do not see anymore, which is frustrating to me. Oh, that is the other one. That's the other storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Another storyline that I am not enjoying thoroughly, and we almost blew by it without giving my full rant to it.
Because James wasn't here.
Holy cow. So, yes, we've got we've got Curtis and Jordan and TJ and Aunt Selma? Aunt whatever her name is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yes, like, that, a little of that aunt goes a long way with me. Just because she's so one note.
Yeah, and I love that actress, but she always does play, like, a side character. Because I remember her in Married with Children as one of Peggy's friends and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's like, okay, like, I get. Like, it totally made sense to have someone from their family come and dislike Jordan being with Curtis because of what happened. That was a logical step. But, yeah, it's like, man, she's a bitch. I mean
Stella.
Aunt
Stella. Yeah. Selma,
I'm like,
Stella,
whatever.
I mean, as much as you see how much she genuinely cares for TJ in those scenes right there over at Kelly's, as soon as Jordan and Curtis walk in, man, she will not let up on Jordan whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's one thing to find out, like, all right, what's going to... Because, you know, Curtis knows what the truth is about who TJ's dad really is. But once Aunt Stella finds out, is she just going to melt down?
Yeah, that's the thing is... And it seems to be wrapping up so quickly. I'm just surprised she didn't find out this week. Because every little beat was like, okay, wow, this is like... I would have expected this two episodes later or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm guessing maybe she finds out next week and goes off on him, you know, or whatever. I don't know. And it's just weird because why don't we have Sean back?
I know, because I felt like this seemed like one of the storylines where occasionally GH hits the fast forward on and it gets you through it real quick. Because when she first shows up last week and they're hanging out and she's really, you know, just, you know, berating Jordan to Curtis while Jordan's not there yet. But you just know that at some point, Jordan was coming back while she was still there. Mm. And I was like, all right, is it going to be this episode, or are they going to have her leave, and then they're going to have to encounter each other again to realize that they're dating? And I'm glad that the show said, no, boom, Jordan's back in the same episode. They get her to have that confrontation. So I'm like, all right, they seem to be really fast-forwarding this. And then when at Kelly's, I thought they were just going to have her find out that really TJ is not really with Stella's nephew's, Stella's nephew, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course we don't. We get that delayed again. Like, why? Why did we get this delayed? Just hit the fast forward button on this. Let's just get it going.
Yeah, I mean, all the other scenes were like really quick, so why did they stop there? That's what I thought. Was like, this pacing is really weird.
So Aunt Stella, as she says at the end, she's going to be around for Port Charles for a while. It's open-ended. My trip here is open-ended. Great.
Yeah, and as I say, it's nice to see Jordan and TJ and, you know, Curtis having scenes together. And as I say, that made a logical, you know, story note for to have a family member come back and kind of find out about TJ and have a problem with Curtis being with her. That made sense, but just the way that they're doing it, so odd.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I feel like that ties into, I guess, get them to the Yarstat, my little segment there, where it's just relationships that were so promising yet have been dying on the vine. And so that ties into, I was thinking about Jason and Curtis. I feel like that is a great relationship that I feel like almost, I can't think of anybody in the chat that ever said, like, yo, these scenes are terrible.
Yeah,
like,
everybody liked it.
Yeah. Like, so why, you know, the writers just kind of steered clear of that for so long? We also have the Andre and Anna. It seems like a lot of people seem to enjoy that genuine kind of, that kind of pairing up. And certainly, you know, we know, you know, Finola was gone for the show for a while. You know, Anthony's had, you know, some injuries and stuff like that. So it's kind of, you know, delayed that. But still, like, they're back on canvas right now. So why aren't we working towards a relationship that it seems like a lot of people were kind of gung-ho for?
Yeah, exactly. Especially now that the Valentine storyline is wrapped up for the time being. Next week, they better be in each other's arms. I'm sorry. We've waited too long.
LaGrecia's already got everybody. It's like, we're already in arms. We don't need to dance around with this. Let's just get in each other's arms.
You know, they're not getting any younger. No. Well, you know what? Like Kevin and Laura. I don't mind if it's quick, especially because people's... older, the older you get, the less you need that dance anyway. I mean, and they've already had this buildup. They're friends. Come on.
Let's just get down to it. Or then you just see, anything with Scotty and Ava. That's a relationship that we did not really get to see a lot of. Little bits and pieces here, but there was so much more that I felt could have been exploited with that. So it's just like, GH has some great relationships between characters that aren't necessarily just romantic, but just yield funny moments and just, and they bring out the best in each other, these two different characters. And for some reason, it's like the GH has this great thing happening for a while, and then they just stay away from it, and they never come back to it, and it gets frustrating.
Yeah, and a relationship that they've come back to this week that people were mentioning was Hayden and Elizabeth being sisters. And this was the first week in a long time that that was really more acknowledged, and too, in a way that made sense. Hayden just goes past them in their crisis to throw up, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant, and her and Jake have a sweet moment. Finally, they got back to that. But we still don't know if Elizabeth's dad knows that he has another kid. I mean, all this other, stuff that was just left out there. And,
Well, we do. I mean, there's a big casting, and I mentioned a little bit last week about James DePavia.
Oh, yeah.
Is cast from One Life to Live in a mysterious role, and a bit much speculation is that it's going to be Jeff Weber.
That would be really good, because I think James DePavia would be good as Jeff Weber, and he looks similar to Richard Dean Anderson and things like that. That would be a good get, and hopefully maybe Cassie will come over, too.
That would be cool. I feel like that is definitely a character that has been so talked about that it was terrible that it didn't make any sense why that character never showed up at all during that whole kind of Hayden and Elizabeth, what's the real deal about their relationship.
Yeah, and I think that's what's frustrating, because I know I had put Michael E. Knight's name when we were talking about casting from other shows, and there was a lot of people who could have been filled at that time, but who knows, maybe it was budgetary reasons or whatever. I mean, because they have to have, apparently a quota of how many Sonny and Carly scenes and Jason and Sam scenes in a month. So I think that really cuts out a lot of, other important stories.
Great. Yeah. What's the quota on how many Man Lander scenes we need to have?
We need to lower that.
That should be lowered so we can have, just more Jeff Weber scenes placed there. Yeah. Or more, let's get some Jason and Curtis scenes back on the docket.
Exactly. Yes. If we're going to see Jason, put him with Curtis, his true love.
Yeah, that's true. I will take zero Man Lander scenes. Mm. That will give me at least, one or two Curtis and Jason stories, scenes of Andre and Anna scenes, some Ava and Scotty scenes. Give me those instead.
And the chat is telling me that Cassie is going to Days right now. Well, no offense, guys. She can come to the better show.
Oh, all right. Shots fired.
Come on.
Look at that.
Days.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is getting about that time. Look at that. We've conquered another week in Port Charles. How does it feel to be back in the saddle?
Just wonderful. I'm so happy to be talking about Man Landers
today. Oh, the Man Landers. Man, I could already see a picture of that scene next week. Him in some publisher's office pretending to do it. Is Amy in the room there with him? I don't know.
Yeah, I think she's going to be his assistant.
Oh.
Yeah, I can just see it now. And then it's seen out of a bad romantic comedy.
Oh, yeah, where the publisher's talking directly to Man Landers, to Nathan, and is like, I loved your advice about blank, blank, blank. And what would you suggest if somebody said this? And then have Amy step in, like, I think what he really means to say, like, oh, this scene's going to be terrible. all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close up shop right now for this week's episode of the GH Report. But don't worry, the fun is just getting started. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what you can do? You can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. It was great to have you back here, hearing your thoughts and opinions of everything we were talking about. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's off the air, Lucretia, where can they find you?
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. I think I never even mentioned where you can find me at the beginning, and that's fine. That's fine. If you don't know by now, there's no hope for us.
I put it up while you were chatting.
Oh, that's so kind. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Alexis Torres. Alexis, where can they find you?
You can find me all over the interwebs at atorres890.
And where can they find your voice?
Gone, probably somewhere on the Universal lot, probably on the studio tour.
Fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us here again. We are done week two, another 2 weeks more without James Lott Jr., but he will be back at the beginning of July. Don't worry, the show will only get better in his return. Until then, folks, we'll see you back here next week, next Sunday night, with another episode of the GH Report, right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.